And I want us each to think about how we might score them on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is very well liked and highly respected, right down the scale to 1 where they're not very well liked at all and not really respected at all. Anybody know who that is? Testing you a bit, this one. Anybody know who that is? Charles Bronson. Yes, somebody does know who it is. It's not the Charles Bronson, the film star, but it's Charlie Salvador, also known as Charles Bronson. He's often referred to in the press as the most violent prisoner in Britain, or Britain's most notorious prisoner. Now, he spent some time in Hull Prison a few years ago, where he took the deputy governor hostage and assaulted him. So, there you are. How might he score on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is very popular, highly regarded, and 1 is hardly regarded at all? We wouldn't have him very high up, would we? It's fairly obvious, that one. Okay, what about this one? Does anyone know who that is? Who's going to admit to knowing who it is? Come on, don't be shy. Do you know who it is? You know who it is. Who is it? It is Kim Kardashian, yeah, okay. So Kim Kardashian, the American reality television personality, has been famous for what some consider to be rather divisive comments and behaviour, and she's often created quite a lot of controversy. How might we score her then? 10, very well liked and highly regarded, down to 0, not at all. What do we think? 5, I think, sort of something like that. So she has her fans, but yeah, okay, 5. Anybody know who that is? Welby. It is Justin Welby, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's been Archbishop of Canterbury for 4 years. Before that, he was a vicar in various places, and then he was an oil executive, they tell us, and various things. And since he became a Christian as a young man, he's been sort of trying to explain the truth that he's found from the Bible with other people. Justin Welby, highly regarded, sort of dodgy reputation, you know, 10 kind of highly regarded. What do we think?
10.
Some people think 10. Maybe, I'm sure he wouldn't say 10 himself, but, you know, kind of higher up the scale for sure, on the whole, probably. Though not everybody would like him. Who's that? Yeah, Justin Bieber, yeah. Okay, so here's Justin Bieber, controversial Canadian singer-songwriter. And some have accused him of some rather dodgy goings-on. He's had some rather bizarre and disrespectful behaviour, some people say. And other people don't like some of his jokes, which some people have said are racist and so on. Justin Bieber, 1 to 10? 1, somebody says. We probably get him slightly higher up than 1, can we? But 5 again, maybe. Well, you know, I wonder if the scores would be different if we were thinking of a scale that was about how interested God might be in these people. How interested might God be in Charles Bronson or Kim Kardashian or Justin Welby or Justin Bieber? What might we think about that? I guess most of us would think that God might not be that interested in some of those characters, but we might think he would be very interested in the Archbishop of Canterbury. Perhaps that's what a lot of people would think if you went out onto the streets of Hull and asked them what they thought. Now, you know, for many people who lived in the country where Jesus was born, those characters that we read about this morning, that we've been singing about, if you were to score them on a scale of 1 to 10 when it came to how much God was interested in them, would probably have had them very low down the scale. You see, that incident that we thought about, usually known as the Epiphany, the revealing, is remembered by Christians at this time of the year, after the 12 days of Christmas, and it has been for many, many centuries. And for good reason, because we actually learn quite a lot from what happened. Well, let's think about these characters. You see, they're rather mystical people, called by Matthew in his Gospel the wise men, literally the magi from the east. Now, they were almost certainly not kings, despite what that first song that we sang this morning says, but they were rather sort of scholars. They were people who would have studied the available material in their day. Now, what was very obvious to the people in the country where Jesus was that these people were foreigners. They'd come from somewhere like Iran or Iraq. And they would have been given a low score as to whether God was interested in them or not, largely because they were certainly not part of the people whom the true and living God had formed a special relationship with. Those living in the area around Jerusalem and Judea, usually known as Jews. Those who had been drawn to God and provided for in a special way. So on the whole, those folks would have looked on at these characters and thought of them as being the sort of people that God wouldn't have been interested in. Now, as I say, they were wise in some ways because they were those who would have read all the literature at the time, but also they would have been pretty superstitious and they would have believed some rather dubious things. These magi would have been considered well beyond God's concern. And yet we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So God, it seems, was drawing these people to see something very important. And that's a reminder that God is interested in every sort of person, from whatever background, whatever race, whatever previous beliefs, whatever previous lifestyle. God wants to draw all kinds of people to Jesus because he is the one whom he has provided to meet everyone's needs. Now, these wise men have been believers in all kinds of strange things, very different from the way that the true God had made himself known. But they were being drawn to Jesus as the one who is the center of the plans of God. God was wanting to change and to transform them for the better, bringing them to him through his Son. Now, this is a great encouragement to us reading that about that incident today, because whoever we are, it's an encouragement to us. God wants to make himself known to us through Jesus, whether that's because we're those who feel quite close to him, those who feel a long way from him, or those who are just not quite sure about him at all. Now, if we're already those who believe in Jesus, well, here is a reminder that no one is beyond God's concern or interest. And so we can pray for those we know who don't seem to have any interest in God and know that God does want to draw them to himself. That's true of our family and friends, our colleagues and neighbours. It's true of those in Asia. Nicholas Haydock, our former parish assistant, is planning on working with soon. And those in Nigeria that our mission partners, Rick and Alana Crichton, are working amongst, and we prayed for them a few minutes ago. It's true of those who Tear Fund are working amongst, the Third World Aid organisation that we support here at All Saints. Now, it's interesting that these wise men had got so far with their own studies about Jewish leaders and what was likely to happen in that part of the world, and their reading of the signs, like the remarkable star that brought them to the Jerusalem area. But they needed something else to help them to discover the most important thing. They needed God's message from the Bible. Do you remember that when King Herod heard about the arrival of these wise men in the area and their questions about who the king, where the king of the Jews was, he was rather freaked out. And indeed the whole region, we're told, was shaken up. And so Herod decided to do his homework. He wanted to find out about the coming Messiah that he knew the people were expecting. And so he gathered together the leaders of the religious leaders of the people. And they told him that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. And then they quote from a 700-year-old book written by the prophet Micah. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So God had revealed that he was going to send a new king who would be connected to the town of Bethlehem, and he would provide care for his people in a new way. Now, it's clear that King Herod, of course, was completely threatened by this promise of a new king. And he didn't want anyone else taking over from him. But in God's loving plans, the message from the Bible was passed on by him to the wise men, and they were then able to find Jesus. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and found out from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may go and worship him." Of course, the sneaky rat, he never had intentions of that. He wanted to kill him. But nonetheless, after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them came to rest over the place where the child was. So there is a reminder that ultimately, if we're to know about God's purposes, if we're really to understand ourselves, if to understand our world, then we need to understand the message of the Bible. That is where truth and wisdom is to be found. It was good that Hugh, a few moments ago, prayed for our Uncover sessions, which we're about to start in the parish hall, using video and looking at one of the source documents, the message of John in his gospel about Jesus. The plan is to look into Jesus and his teaching and his life, to see what he really was all about, and to be able to ask questions if we want to, not to be put on the spot in any way, but to have the opportunity to find out and to inquire, or to receive an encouragement if we're already believers. We're planning on starting a taster session on Thursday the 19th at 8 o'clock in the hall. But what did these wise men meeting this new king show to us? Well, we've realised that it shows that indeed God is interested in all kinds of people. But having learned from the Bible that the place to go to find God's new king was Bethlehem, we read that going to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Now, I guess we will probably all know this bit of the Bible. We're brought up with it, aren't we, from nativity plays and everything else. We know what the three gifts were. They're very famous. But it is good to remind ourselves, because it seems that the gifts that these wise men gave to the infant Jesus were far more significant than the wise men actually appreciated. And I'm going to need a little bit of help here with these gifts, because I've got things to remind us of them. So here's the first one. Somebody going to like to open it up for us? Somebody going to... We've got a volunteer here. Can you open that up and see what's inside it? We're 50 weeks from Christmas today. Do you know that? Or 2 weeks if you go the other way. What's inside it? What colour is it?
Gold.
It's gold, isn't it? Yeah, it's gold, which we're not surprised to find in that first package. If you just hold on to that for a moment. And of course, throughout history, gold has been seen as an extremely precious thing. And in the Bible, gold is recognised as a symbol of something of great value. So other things are compared to it. Here then is a gift of great significance and value, indeed a gift fit for a king. Jesus is God's Christ, the Messiah, come to bring in God's good and loving kingdom rule in a new way. So there's gold, but there also, of course, was something else. Would you like to open this one? I've got some more volunteers here. There are three, believe it or not, so I'll let you do that one. So let's see what's inside it. Have you got any Christmas presents left at home? Unwrapped? I bet you have. I don't suppose anybody else has. Go on, open that one then and see what's inside it. Doesn't look terribly exciting, does it? Come on, let's have a look. What's on the other side? You see what they are? You read for us what it says on there.
French vanilla incense sticks.
Incense sticks. Thank you. So what you do with them is you kind of set fire to them and they give off a smell. And they're quite popular these days, aren't they? Well, incense is a spice that is harvested from certain trees. And it has a sweet smell when you burn it or heat it up. Now, in the Bible, frankincense, which is just a sort of incense, is especially connected to the services that were held in the temple in Jerusalem. And burning the incense was a sign of God being there with the people. And it was a sign of prayers being offered up to God. So here, in giving incense to the infant Jesus, is a fitting gift for the Christ, the King, the Messiah. And it's a reminder also that Jesus, God's King, is more than simply a human ruler. He's one who a few lines earlier in the same Matthew's Gospel is referred to as Emmanuel, which means, we're told, God is with us. So Jesus is King and he is God himself come to show us what God is like. Last gift. We've got somebody up there who wants to open one. We've got two people. You're going to come and join in together. See if you can manage to get it open. It's heavier than you thought. Is it heavier than you thought? Yeah. See what's in it then. Whoa, now what's it say on it? Can anybody read that? It's a bit of a funny word, but we know what it is probably. Myrrh. It says myrrh on it. Now, I haven't got any real myrrh, I'm sorry about that. It's quite difficult to come by. And it actually is gum from a tree. And in the Bible, myrrh is recognised as a rare perfume. But also, interestingly, myrrh is present at the death of Jesus. Jesus was offered wine and myrrh just before he was put on the cross. And two of his more wealthy friends brought a large amount of myrrh and spices to anoint Jesus' body after he died. So here then, in the very early part of Jesus' life, is a pointer to his purpose. He has come to die before being raised again. And as we hear, again, just a few lines before in Matthew's Gospel, and we've mentioned it this morning already, Jesus has come to save his people from their sins, to bring forgiveness and acceptance with God when we believe in him. So in our day, an epiphany has come to mean a sudden realization about something. But the epiphany here points to the making known of God's love and mercy to the whole world in Jesus. All people, including those celebrities we began with, and us, and people we know, God is interested in us because of Jesus. And Jesus is completely unique. We're going to sing a hymn in a few moments, which includes these words. Gifts of men from distant lands prophesy the story. Gold, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, his death will make a way. And by his blood, he'll win us. Now, how did those wise men react when they finally met Jesus after their long search? Going into the house, we read, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. For one such as Jesus, that is the only fitting thing to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incident that happened all those years ago, but for what it points us to, as to your great love and concern for all kinds of people. We thank you for reaching out in love to us and for making known to us the truth about Jesus. We pray that you would help us all here this morning to see more of who he is. Open our hearts, we pray, and give us grace that we too might worship him. Amen.